A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself. Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.' Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. I wonder how the people of Haiti would hear Jesus say, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Or how those in Iraq or Afghanistan would hear, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." I wonder how the man or woman who has found that they had cancer today would respond to, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Or people around a table where a family member just lost a job. Would they feel liberated, expecting that it meant Jesus would take care of it all now? They were on the inside track and would be the next to get food, a job, or be healed? Or would they be angry? "Where have you been? What do you mean you're going to take care of foreigners or strangers first?" Today's readings are ones that call us to hard places. It calls us to really trust God's love for us. Not like little children, but as grown-ups. And then again, maybe like little children. When things get hard, who do you trust? Can you or I believe that God is still there? That God loves? As I watch the people in Haiti singing and praying to God, I felt their love for God was tangible on the deepest levels. They had staked out their own lives. In Nazareth, people seem to want Jesus without the relationship. Except, you know, you're one of us, do for us what you did for them. And then, well, I've heard people say to me that God owed them for all they did and the pain they suffered. Thanks be to God, our God is more gracious. Our God is not one of an eye for an eye or quid pro quo. And that's what infuriated Nazareth. You couldn't give a simple explanation for why, like the woman in the doctor's office the other day who said the people of Haiti must have done something bad for God to punish them like that. I assured them that wasn't so. You see, Jesus was upsetting the economy of salvation. You're bad, God punishes. You're good, you're rewarded. The blind, the poor, the sick, the downtrodden, the oppressed, those who were victimized by disasters, were all considered sinners. Or it was their family's sin that burdened them. Jesus continually proclaimed a year of jubilee throughout all his years of ministry. A year of jubilee would come every 50 years, in which there would be a forgiveness of debts, rejoicing, a year of favor from our God. But Jesus proclaimed this not for 1 year, throughout his whole ministry. Forgiveness of debts, rejoicing in relationship, the topsy-turvy of God raising up those bowed down, literally under the weight of sin, poverty, illness, fear, and death. God was as gracious and amazing as those in Nazareth thought Jesus was in the beginning of the gospel. But then, Jesus was saying God had a priority for the poor and sinners. God loved foreigners and strangers. Because you were a temple or church didn't mean a free pass. Because you were from the same town. It meant being called, like Jeremiah the prophet, to stand up for those who are voiceless. It means loving in the manner in which Paul speaks. Love does not brood over injuries. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing. Love endures all things. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. The mission of Jesus is ours. As Christians, we are called by our baptism to continue to proclaim, to bring glad tidings to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim a year of favor from our God. That is not easy. We live in a culture where many do not welcome the immigrant or stranger. We have seen acts of violence against them, where some are murdered or beaten just because they are from another land. And those who speak for them are often victims of ridicule and marginalized at the end of a proverbial cliff. Will we speak in angelic tongues or clashing cymbals? Or with love. We profile those who think differently from ourselves at our tables, in our politics. Will we have faith to move mountains and listen with love? As Haiti goes from being a front page story in a newspaper to something smaller and further back into almost oblivion, will we have given what we have done in a love that never fails? Will we stand like Jeremiah, fortified with the strength of our God, to continue to show respect and to give to those in need? To look for the truth that God's love goes beyond the horizons of our sight? Will others remember us as the ones who can rightly say, by our actions, today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing?